Hi everybody, it's Dina Blizzard and you are watching One Funny Morning.
Welcome to One Funny Morning Show.
From Monday to Friday.
And sometimes on Saturday.
Why would you say that in front of all these people?
You never know what's gonna happen.
Carmen!
Cortez!
Good morning, everybody!
What's outside your weather door?
Good morning!
Uppy, uppy.
Uppy, everybody!
I'm Jennifer Leisenheimer from Bemidji, Minnesota, home of Paul Bunyan and Babe the Blue Ox. And you're watching One Funny Morning with your host, Dina Blizzard.
Good morning, everybody. Oh, it's a beautiful morning, everybody. It was so foggy this morning. You couldn't see out these windows this morning. It was so outside. Miss Dewey, is that the word? Dare I say moist? Nobody wants that. But it's a beautiful morning here. Hot and humid. Humid is no joke, Jacqueline. So some exciting things happening. Yesterday, my girlfriend Sherry came down and insanely hot Florida. I don't even know why anybody's down there these months. I think you should all leave Florida at like on July 1st. Be like, just the whole state leaves. Yeah, exactly. Good morning, Jeremy. I just watched Missy's video from Radiation yesterday. Like, if you're looking for somebody to inspire you to look at the bright side, be following Missy Hall because she is going through all of the things for cancer and doing it with such amazingness. And it's already 106. Oh, my gosh. And she's just lovely. So I was just watching her video. First live in months. Diane, welcome. Oh, my gosh, that's so hot. It's hot in Atlanta. Humidity is terrible. Arizona's hot. Yeah, carrot. Yeah, Lorraine, it was carrot. So yesterday, I want to thank everybody first for everybody's lovely notes. Yesterday, I put out the newsletter to anybody that has subscribed to the newsletter. You hopefully got it yesterday. If you have not subscribed yet, you can go to One Funny. Have an amazing husband kind of sort of helps too, said Jeremy. It's horrible. So we put the newsletter out yesterday, and it's so funny because everybody on the team does such a great job with the newsletter. It's a lot of hands that touch that newsletter to help it come together and kind of keep you up to date on things that are happening. Like I said, if you have not subscribed, if you go to onefunnymother.com, you can put your email in and be subscribed to the newsletter. My team does a great job of putting together the newsletter. And then I'm always the last one to get myself together to write my blog. And yesterday I was just feeling myself yesterday. I don't know. It's just these kind of moments in life. As you move through things, I think I learn something new every day about divorce and change and all of the things. And, you know, it feels like it's the same thing every day. And yet do you ever go to like a funeral and you're at the funeral and you're obviously there because someone you love has passed, right? And you go to the funeral and you wonder how on this horrible day when you've lost somebody and everyone has stopped what they're doing to come and honor this person, and you look around on your way to the funeral or on your way to the luncheon, because you know there's always a luncheon, and you you wonder how the world is still revolving. You wonder why all these other people don't know that this great person just passed. And you don't understand how the world is still going on. You're like, doesn't everybody know that this horrible thing happened? How are they not stopping, right? And then you start to realize whatever you're going through, right? You're just, it's your experience. And the world goes round and round, you know? So I don't know. It's just those certain moments, the whole thing with Colby over the weekend. Yeah. And then you wonder why there's no cotton candy machine and nobody has snacks in a bag. I don't know. It's just those moments where, you know, like it's probably just a normal day for everybody. But depending on where you are in your life, like you're like, this is the moment that everything changed in some way. But for everybody else, it's just a regular day, or at least that's what you think, you know. But the reality is everybody's having that day. Yeah. And then Mary Drew Pendleton with the great name, it does. You're just like, how is it that nobody else is having this moment? But then, you know, if you think about it, you're like, everybody has this moment about different things. And it's just my turn, I guess. And I don't like it. And then I eat cake. And then it's better for a little bit. And then it's not. Yeah, Crystal, I feel like, yeah, if you lose a parent, that's like a day. You're like, oh my God, why isn't everybody not going to work and coming and realizing what a big day this is, you know? And, it's just weird. So, you know, and cake does fix everything. I'm not gonna lie. So I've had them. I've had the days, you know. I had it when I got divorced, and a lot of the days after that, I just feel like, I guess I thought like, well, it's 9 months later. Like, I'm not going to have those days anymore. Yeah. And then there it is. So anyway, so that's what I decided to write about. Every once in a while, I have thoughts that aren't that funny. And that was it. Mm-hmm. I heard it takes half the time of being with somebody to get over them. And Survivor, that's not good. I was married 24 years. You're like, Dina, when you're 62, this will be behind you. Last thing I wanted was food. I could not even enjoy food I had in my hand. Why should we? Yeah, it is. It's funny how everybody kind of grieves in a different way. Like in the Italian culture, gosh, you don't show up without food. And like if somebody showed up you know, pay their respects and they don't got a donut, you ain't got no entomans. What? Okay, you need to leave. So, oh, lentil cake. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure it does. Sherry Vin, is that Carrot? I don't know. Is that you, Carrot? Who's Sherry Vin? She goes by a lot of names. It probably is because she said lentil cake and that's something she would say. Yeah. Oh, Diana. Oh, please. Let me read you the texts. Sexy producer Michelle is here today in the studio. So this was the text chain yesterday. Michelle, you'll get a kick out of this. So I'm trying to figure out. So my sister's coming to town this weekend. Oh, Debbie, I'm so sorry. So my mom has texted me. She's like, hey, somebody reached out, da, da, da. So I sent her that. I said, when are you coming down? She says, I'm not sure when I'll be down. Still not 100%. I said, come tomorrow. Get it together, lady. No one is here tomorrow. I'll see how I feel. You're there and I don't know that I want to be around you. You're still sick. I'm trying to get better, not stay sick. Oh, real aggressive, real aggressive. I said, I'm fine, sicko. Just sound gross. Otherwise, I'm good. Nicole's fine. She doesn't come down until Friday. And then just went back and forth. Nicole's coming down. Has your mom ever been 100%? No. She got the bad leg. She got the bad this. She said, I can't come down. I don't have my voice left. I said, I don't care if you have a voice. I don't need to hear you. Well, the doctor said I'm not supposed to be talking. I said, great. I'll ignore you when you get here. I just don't understand. Well, your sister's saying she don't even know if she wants to be around me. I go, I don't know if I want to be around you. I said, but she's coming to your... So my sister's going to my mom's house first on Thursday. Was that today? Tonight. And then they're coming down here tomorrow. I said, what is the difference if she's up there with you or you're down here? What's the difference? You're going to see... She coming to your house. I don't know what she's waiting. I'm not 100%. I said, well, if we're waiting until you're 100%. Yeah, she got the Skittle tooth again. Listen, don't you remember when she had the Skittlectomy? Yeah, wasn't 100% then either. Guess what? Tell Nicole to pick me up on the way. Cheryl, get out there with the thumb. Get Diana set up. Yeah. Am I okay with time? Did I misread this? Oh, it is? I should ask you that. Oh, my gosh. So what time are we?
You should be around.
Okay, you'll tell me. She may, because she can't have the honeys come in the back door if you're here. Exactly. Exactly. So none of us have ever been 100%. All right. So since we have a few minutes, let me tell you this story. Are you okay with time? I am not okay with time, Chris, ever. So let me tell you about Carrot, because we had an adventure this morning at 6 a.m. So you might not know this about high school Sherry, a.k.a. Carrot, but she has a side hustle. You may not know this about Carrot. She's a dietitian, nutritionist, academic. She's a teacher. She got the stories. Fine. But what you might not know, is that she's part of a special group. Okay. You're like, Dina, what group is she a part of? Okay. You know, when you're at the beach, you're like, go on. And there's a whole bunch of creepy old men. You're like, go on. And they all got metal detectors. What? Sherry, part of this group. Sherry's the hottest metal detector you ever met in your whole life. I'm like, are you the youngest and most attractive person in the group? Because not only does she have a metal detector, have the pouch that goes with it, and the digger, there's a digger, and then this other thing that looks like that wand you get when you get an ultrasound on your vagina, she got one of those in her pocket. And I'm just like, what is this? Now, she's part of the group, okay? Please raise your hand if you know somebody that's a metal detector. Right. Because I've seen them in public. I've seen people. I love when they find people's lost. Girl, wait till you hear what happened this morning. So Sherry's part of a group. Beach metal detecting is one of my dreams. Well, you need to talk to Carrot. So they got a metal detecting club. A lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of adversity, let's say. They're my favorite stories. Anyway. I have several friends of metal detectors. She loves it. And they get together and they have these outings. Carrot just got 10 times gone. So they have these outings, right? Where a whole bunch of metal detector people, they rent out a lake for the morning. And then somebody goes around and throws a whole bunch of stuff onto the beach. Some that have value and some that don't have value. Like a couple coins here or there. Some got precious metals, treasure hunting. And then everybody, they say, go. And then everybody runs around the beach to try to find all the stuff that they just, it's like a sandbox for like big people. Anyway, She's always telling me all these like special things that she finds on her excursions. So she comes down yesterday and like a scavenger hunt. Exactly. She comes down yesterday and I could see she got the metal detector in the back. I said, what's going on here? I'm down at the beach. I thought maybe we could have some fun and go metal detecting. I was like, I was thinking a night out drinking, but sure, we could do this too. It's 6 a.m. Oh, it's 6 a.m. Brooke had to leave for work at 7:30. I got to be here at 8:30. The only time we could do it is 6 in the morning. Fine. So I said, Brooke, make sure you go to bed early because we're doing something special with Aunt Sherry at 6 a.m. She was like, please no. And I was like, we're doing it. So I need a metal detector in my bedroom. I lost my engagement ring. It rolled off the dresser. Now I can't find it. Well, there you go. Have you tried geocaching? It's literally treasure, except you can't keep the treasure. Well, no, I don't want to do that. So 6 this morning. Yes. So we got up. Now, mind you see this window, the whole house looked like this. It was the fog was so dense. You couldn't see anything. So drunk metal detecting. What could go wrong? So we all roll out of bed and we're like, let's head to the beach. It was so humid. As we're walking, Brooke's like, why is your hair all wet? There's no rain whatsoever. But literally all of our hair was soaking wet just by walking. It was so gross. So we get to the beach. Now, I said, listen, there were fireworks here the other night. Literally a million people. So this is a hotbed, is what I'm thinking. Fine. Well, we get down there. Doesn't this thing start going off? Bing, 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 like crazy, right? Now, Sherry's got the detector. And then there's the thing that does, it looks like the ultrasound thing when they do your bladder, looks like that. I don't think it was that, but it could have been. But it looked exactly like that, but bright orange. Next time you go get your ultrasound, you got to have the stupid wand. Be like, is this for metal detecting? It's so weird. So we get down, starts going crazy. Now, I have, hold on, let me count it. You hear this metal? Let me count it up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 17 items we found. Oh, a lot of gold. What's this, Michelle? Let's see. I actually found a lot of gold. Oh, is this the, there's a certain beach called Gold Beach. The Ring Finder is a global directory of literally muckraking metal detecting specialists who hunt lost items. Yeah. So Sherry says that somebody this past weekend found a full sword. A sword. He was in the ocean. Let me see if I can find it. Shell, see if you can find it. Put in sword, probably Florida, something, something. Full sword. And we'll find it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me show you what we found. You're going to be so jealous. You saw the source? Addie said she saw it. Quarter. 25 cents.
Yeah, Northern Ireland.
Oh, well, same as Florida. 50 cents. What, Dina? 60 cents. 70 cents. 80 cents. Oh, somebody go and get McDonald's. 90 cents. $1. $1. Half a bagel. Free. Split between three people. Totally worth it. What? There's more. A whole bunch of sand, too. Now, Sherry said these aren't valuable, but I think that she's not seeing we could start a business finding these special things on the beach.
I sent you the article.
All right, we're going to read it. Look at these bottle caps. I'm cleaning the beach this morning, 6 o'clock this morning. I got nothing better to do with my life then find these. Now, she says these aren't worth anything, but I said, look at this blue one. Yeah. Found those. Found these two bottle caps. Whatever. Fine. It's getting better. Just wait. Are you ready? Michelle, are you ready for this? I want a car. Michelle, I was like, you think the car is around here? I found this key.
Maybe that's the one I lost 2 years ago.
You looking for a key? I found the key. I said, you think the car is around here? She goes, what kind of key is it? I go, I don't know. Do we just start like putting in people's cars and be like, this is mine now? Okay. Then she says, now the thing is real funny. You do this and it beeps at you. Now, depending on the beep, the sound of the beep and the number that comes up, it tells you something, right? So if it goes, that means it's probably like a bottle cap. Like it can tell the type of alloy it is. But if it goes beep, 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 high pitch beep, better. And it gives you a number. So if it's like a 35 bad, 35. Bottle cap, 85, bing, 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 big number. Okay. We hit an 85. So everybody got a job. Sherry's metal detecting. Brooke has got the vaginal wand and I got the digger. Okay. There's a whole thing that's happening. It's a team effort. So we're digging. Don't we find a ring? What? We find a ring and it's the kind, it's like either, now let's go over what it could be. It's either a $2 ring that somebody got at Ocean City and just left on the beach, or it is a white gold, fine diamond, multiple setting all the way around. Diamond, 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 diamond. What? So, you never saw a nerdy metal detectorite so excited. She's like, do you realize what this means? I go, well, aren't there like code of ethics or something? Then she goes, yeah. You got to look up on the Facebook pages and you got to say, anybody lost the ring? And then if nobody says anything, then it's yours. Also, you know, we were digging and we're getting ready to go. She goes, you got to cover your holes. I said, that's what she said. She said, that's the rule. When you're metal detecting, you never leave, like you don't dig and then you walk away, cover your holes. And that is just a good advice just in life, cover your holes. And I think we all know why. That's what she said. So Sherry was supposed to be here till like 10 o'clock today. She goes, girl, I got to go home. Got to go to the jewelers. I got to see what we have. I go, okay. All right. Chris, you ran out of the house. Haven't seen her. Yeah. So it was a big day. She did let me keep the dollar and all the bottle caps, which I thought was nice. And I said, what are you going to do if you get there? And she's like, yeah, this is totally real. And she's like, I'm going to let you know. I said, will you? Will you let me know? Or all of a sudden, you're just going to pull up with like a new car. You'd be like, girl, I just put a down payment on my shore house. You just all of a sudden, no, that ring wasn't anything. Did you want to take a ride in my jet or anything like that? You know what I'm saying? A little shady. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, Linda. So then we're standing on the beach. Doesn't she take the ring, puts it on fish, fits me perfect. It's mine. I go, what? What? I said, you didn't even let anybody else try it on, Cinderella. I said, maybe it fits somebody else here. And maybe you got to let other people try it on. She goes, yeah, you tried on. So now I'm like the ugly stepsister trying to jam this ring onto my finger. I go, no. Wouldn't fit. wouldn't fit my big fat fingers. I said, well, Brooke is still here. I said, Brooke, stick it on your foot. I swear it was like a scene out of Cinderella. And we're yelling at Sherry. She's like, it doesn't fit you. And I'm trying to jam it on Brooke's fingers. She's like, I have fat fingers. I said, suck in or something, Brooke. We're going to miss out on this ring because we both have big fat fingers. It is like the Goonies. So somehow Cinderella walked off with the ring. At 6 o'clock this morning, all of us looked like just wet dogs. We were just covered in just gross fog. I don't even know what it was. Yeah, she bought a castle now. She lives in Ireland, lives in a castle. Like, just, I don't know. But wait, so where is the, Michelle found the article. 10-year-old boy, yeah, finds a century-old sword in Northern Ireland. So in July, a 10-year-old boy, Fiantán Hughes, the very Irish. First time he took it out for a spin, he found a century-old sword buried about a foot underground. His father and his cousin were using a metal detector on the banks of the river near his home when they found a sword on their third hit. They dug up the large mud-covered object, brought it home, washed it off with a garden hose. It was a half-rusted old sword with an ornate pommel. It was difficult to identify, but it looks like an English basket hilted. And it was introduced in 1610 to 1640. In 1992, a man looking for a lost hammer happened upon a 30-pound hoard of Roman golden artifacts. In 2016, it is a mental detectorist. That's what they're called. Found a hoard of Viking artifacts. The UK's Treasure Act of 1996 requires those who discover caches of buried treasure to report their findings to the local coroner. Coroner? What? What? I was not expecting that to say coroner. Last year, four men received sentences of between 5 and 10 years in prison because they didn't report the Viking artifacts they found in 2015. It says... the last thing I want is for it to be rusting away in my garage. Wow. See, this is from 2020. There's another one, Michelle, that's even more recent because Sherry's story that she told me was that it was somebody that was in the ocean, felt something by their feet. I don't know. I guess there's underwater detectors, was able to find it, found a full sword. It was still in the sheath. And that same thing that the authority, I guess he put it up and was like, hey, this happened or whatever. He went to the coroner. Why the coroner, right? That's so weird. Michelle, can you plug this in? And now they took it. They took it from him. And I was like, how do you just automatically just take it? You can unplug all that because that's not working. Okay. Oh, here it is. This is in the Gulf today. We're looking at appraiser for what is clean. Okay, hold on. Let me see. I can show you this picture that Sherry just sent me. Add an overlay. I don't know where it went. I can't show it to you. I'll try to prep it for tomorrow. All right. In the interim, well, listen, apparently we can talk about swords and metal. I had no idea that we had such a contingency that was enamored by metal detecting. And they were bound to find a colonial money worth $40,000. What? What Michelle are you talking to? I'm talking to sexy producer Michelle Toussaint. Not my sister, Michelle. Different Michelle. Lots of Michelles. The coroner is in charge of dug up stuff, be it bodies or treasure. Did you know that?
I watch enough British murder mysteries.
Yeah, they've never covered that in Murder, She Wrote. That's an old reference. That's an Angela Lansbury. Thank you. You're welcome. All right, you guys. Well, we have a guest. It's Thursday, and sexy producer Michelle does such a great job of finding some interesting fun people to kind of come and kind of tell us about maybe some business that they've started or some interesting story or history. And I feel like in a lot of ways, a lot of the guests that we've had have been inspiring in their own way, in their own kind of corner of the world, and their unique view on things or a unique talent that they have. And today's guest is much the same. Before I tell you who his, here's what I'm going to do. So our guest is an impressionist. He's an actor. He's on an amazing series that I just started watching. I'm so glad I found because it's so funny. And it stars, besides him, Chris O'Dowd, who is the guy that was in Bridesmaids as the love interest. He's adorable. And Jim, our guest, plays his dad. But he has an amazing talent for impressions. We're going to learn more about that, how he got started, who his famous mom is. There's a lot of stories to tell. Before we get to it, I want to introduce him via the video, right, Shell? So this is an older video of some of the impressions, and then we're going to talk about what he's doing now. Take it away, Michelle. Here we go.
Well, our current president, Donald Trump, has a voice that we're perhaps a little too familiar with. But I was wondering, how many presidential voices can we remember?
For example, there's Barack Obama, who always starts off his sentences very slowly and then wraps them up quickly at the end.
Quite the opposite from George W. Bush. Comes out of the gate real strong and then slowly applies the brakes for emphasis.
For that, there's Bill Clinton, who I still think he sounds like he inhaled.
And for that was George Bush Sr., future groper. And before him was Ronald Reagan, who would probably tell Trump today that, well, a gentle voice can tear down a wall.
And speaking of a gentle voice, before President Reagan, there was Jimmy Carter.
Before him was Gerald R. Ford, who pardoned Nixon.
You haven't forgotten my voice, have you? I tape recorded it enough.
Prior to President Nixon, there was Lyndon B. Johnson.
And before him was a man simply known as JFK. Which begs the question, which came first, the man or the airport?
Before him was Eisenhower, the president that most resembles Admiral Akbar from Star Wars.
And before him was Harry Truman, and if you don't recognize this voice, maybe you'll recognize me from the front of the dime.
And FDR, whose voice lives in the memory of the people who incessantly watch the History Channel. And by the way, I'm the one who's on the dime, not Harry.
And then before that, there's, there's Herbert Hoover. What does he sound like? Oh, yeah.
So listen, he is the son of American TV mom Marion Ross from Happy Days. Somebody said, I already told you guys, so the game would have been dumb anyway. But he also has played Senator Edward Gurney opposite Julie Roberts and Sean Penn in Gaslit. He also has portrayed Phil Donahue in Welcome to Chippendales, Colonel Sanders in KFC commercials, George Washington in Geico commercials. He's currently starring in The Big Door Prize, which is on Apple TV. And he's also been seen in Hunters, starring Al Pacino, Carol Kane. The list goes on and on. Whose Line Is It Anyway? Impress Me. All of the fun's done. Please help me welcome very early in the morning his time. So appreciated. Please welcome to the show, Jim Meskimen. Hey, Jim.
Oh, hey. Hey there. Hi, Dina.
Hey, thank you.
I'm just searching around my booth for any metal. Something here. I was listening to what you were saying. You know, there's a very funny British series called The Detectorists.
Huh.
It only lasted a couple seasons, I think. But the tall, skinny guy from the Pirates, from the original Office, the British Office, Mackenzie Crook, he wrote and created the series. And Toby Jones is in it. And it's very dry. It's the driest of British humor. But it's about guys that go out there in the English countryside and search around with our little metal detectors. And
I bet it's hilarious.
Like real treasure. I mean, you know, like hundreds of years old treasure.
It's so funny. It's so funny talking to you after watching that video. I'm not sure who I'm going to be talking to when you start talking, because you are a master of just change. Like, how long did it take you to shoot all of that in a row and remember the order and like your fate? Like, it's incredible.
Thanks. I wish I remembered. But it took a while. I was preparing something. I think I was going on The View, and they wanted me to prepare something, and that was what I came up with. So And then I think we wound up doing something else. But it was a, I do a lot of social media stuff. I put a lot of stuff on YouTube every day and Instagram and TikTok. And it's fun, you know, and it's inexpensive as an activity. And it's a way for me to have fun and to meet.
That's great. Well, it's funny. When I mentioned you and your video was playing in the comments, everybody's saying, yeah, I know Jim. I follow Jim. So where can people find you first so that they can follow you on Insta or Facebook or the TikTok? Where are you?
Yeah, I'm on that. I'm on all those things. Generally at Jimpressions.
Okay.
Jimpressions is kind of my overall brand title. So on Instagram, I'm at Jimpressions. I may be, I think TikTok is at Jim Meskimen. Meskimen, okay. As you can see, it's spelled just like that.
Yeah, yeah, I love it. So, yeah, so, and you say actor and impressionist and son of Mrs. C. So tell me, what was it like? I mean, it sounds like you've kind of grown up in this industry. What was that like as a kid?
I did grow up in this industry. I was not a child actor, but I did observe my mother, her career, rising from being a working actress. You know, she did all the, prior to Happy Days, she did all the shows of the 60s and 70s as a guest star. She was, you know, in Westerns, all the many, many Westerns of the 60s. And she was in Mannix and the Brady Bunch and, you know, guest shots. Now, she was a single mom.
Yeah.
Raising two kids, my sister and I. So she really struggled and hustled, I would say. Rather than struggled, I would say she hustled. She was a hard worker and grew up, you know, raised in the Depression, a Minnesota girl from just out there in the wilderness.
Yeah.
The Midwestern wilderness, with a real strong intention to make it, to be a star, to see her name in lights. And in a way that I think was very honorable. It took me a while to figure out why it was honorable. But, you know, she desperately wanted to get out of that little town and become a person that mattered. And that's what she did.
I mean, she was iconic as Mrs. C. I mean, yeah. I remember growing up and watching it and just thinking, gosh, that house, that family just was so wholesome. And you're like, she's just so beautiful. And, you know, it was around the time where all of those TV moms were just dressed so beautifully and their houses are so beautiful. I mean, it's just such a lovely, great time.
It was all propaganda.
Oh,
it was but beautiful, beautiful propaganda. We all enjoy very much.
What do you think your mom would say? I mean, like, you know, considering coming from a time where, like, at that time, in order to make it, like, somebody had to find you, somebody put, you know, time behind you and support you from a network side, where now what, you know, what you do, what I do is, you know, put your little phone on and stream from your house and you can have a career and blow up just by nature of people watching you on social media. Like, I wonder, you know, how differently people back then would look at, like, look at these people now or becoming famous in their living rooms. It's got to be so different.
Yeah. She really doesn't grasp it particularly. It's so different from the traditions that she grew up with. And she really liked acting. She really liked, you know, being in plays. And even in the off seasons when she wasn't doing Happy Days, if they weren't playing softball, which they did a lot, they would tour around and play softball.
Really?
Oh, yeah. They had a very active league, Ron, because all the young men, they loved to play softball and baseball and do sports. And Gary Marshall was quite shrewd and loving in that he was the guy that created the show, right? Gary Marshall.
Yeah.
I say shrewd and loving because he had this ulterior motive. He wanted to keep these young men alive and not see them dusted by fame, you know, completely. Yeah. Right. So he organized this tour that would promote the show. It would allow these guys to meet their fans and allow the fans to meet them. Mm-hmm. And it would keep them busy in a very healthy way.
Yeah.
Because they all had suddenly, they were all like, you know, like a version of the Beatles. They were somewhere on the Beatles scale.
Yeah.
And they were, you know, had way too much money and attention. And it could have been kind of grim, but he kept them very busy. So my mother also toured with them and Tom Bosley and all the whole cast did.
That's amazing.
And there she is there in later years with me.
Mm-hmm.
But when she wasn't doing that, she was doing plays. So she loves to do the activities of acting and being in front of an audience I saw her in innumerable plays, and she was just wonderful always.
Yeah. And so when did you kind of know that you had the bug and you wanted to do this?
Yeah, I sort of tentatively was attracted to the whole thing. And I did like to perform, but I was kind of shy. And I didn't really make a full commitment to it, like, okay, this is what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Until quite late, until I was in my early 20s.
Hmm.
And then I moved to New York City and got started there in improv, and that that helped me to loosen up a lot and to realize that, you know, I have something to offer.
And how did you get kind of move towards impressions? So I am a comic by trade. I have three kids. Two of my kids are doing stand-up now.
Oh my.
And it's so interesting. My daughter is doing stand-up, but she's also doing improv.
Mm.
And she's like, I feel like I have to pick one. I'm like, if you can do both, keep doing both. They're just completely different muscles. Comedy is comedy. And improv is, I find it so difficult. I'm like, if you can do both, it's such a great thing because they're such different muscles.
Yeah, I agree with that. Jerry Seinfeld did a lot of improv in a group that I was in New York City. He was there before I was, but he got a lot out of that experience. Improv is a different way of creating humor or theater. So yeah, but there, you're right. Totally related. I forgot the question, to be honest.
So I was saying, so you're in improv. When did you figure out that you were good at impressions? Like that?
Oh yes, the impressions.
How did that come about?
Well, it's something that I've always played with. But I didn't have any big designs on making a career out of it because, I don't know, it didn't occur to me. It was just fun to do.
Yeah.
If I was together with friends, I would eventually start doing voices of the shows that we watched or the movies that we enjoyed or the teachers we had.
Uh-huh.
You know, people in our lives or personalities. So I had a facility, I guess it was just a little bit better than other kids. Part of that, I guess, is just God given. Part of it is that I was sort of tickled and interested by it.
Yeah.
So when I arrived in New York trying to look for, I knew I could be a voice actor. I knew I could get a career as a voice actor. I just had that understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And I discovered pretty early on in my auditioning that, well, I had a little bit of a leg up. I had just a tiny advantage over the rest of all the fine actors that were in New York City at that time. So I got a lot of voiceover work right away. It wasn't always impressions.
Uh-huh.
It's, you know, being expressive vocally being able to do different emotions vocally. But I could also do Gregory Peck, you know, and Burgess Meredith back then in the 80s was a very, very sought after narrator. So I could knock off his voice for a cheap industrial and make a buck.
And they said, it said you can do Christopher Walken. I have a whole list.
Yeah, of course. I mean, Dina, we're talking here. And the thing about Christopher Walken is that a lot of people exaggerate it to a degree that's sort of embarrassing. His own voice has enough sensitivity and cadence to it. I don't think you need to go overboard. Just say what you got to say.
How about Sir Patrick Stewart, who's so...
How about Sir Patrick Stewart? Good old Sir Pat. How about him? I mean, he's one of my favorite ones to do lately because he's got such a charming attitude about things and a twinkle in his eye. And really, you have to change your whole... the whole way you're sitting and the way your vocabulary to do Patrick Stewart. It's a lot of fun.
Now, I'm going to be honest. So I recently divorced Jim and back on the dating scene. And if I met a fella who I could just be like, call up an accent. Women love accents. I'd be like, Jim, do that. You're Irish tonight. I would be changing your accent every single night. Does your significant other was like, listen, maybe you could be a little English tonight. Like, it's amazing.
Well, I'm happy to say I've been married for 36 years to my beautiful Tamara. And we met in high school, actually, doing plays. So she's been well aware of all my peculiarities. And, you know, I think of all the people in the world that, you know, appreciate what I do, she's far down the list, but she's still on the list. So
that's good. That's fair. Now, somebody asked you, can you do any female impressions? Is that something you do?
Well, I used to do Arianna Huffington. But the problem with doing a female voice, if you're a man, is that you always sound like you're making fun of the woman. It's difficult to do. So because you're in falsetto, which is not, I suppose, the most respectable way for a man to talk.
I love it.
She's not the only one I do.
I suppose I could do Julia Child, though, but Julia Child had a very masculine voice, didn't she? Mm-hmm. And she sounds a little bit like Dame Edna, doesn't she? All you have to do is put a little small Melbourne accent on Julia Child, dear, don't you, Possums, to do the great Dame Edna.
I love it. So tell me, so you are now currently starring on the Big Door Prize.
You mentioned Chris O'Dowd. I play his father, and he's a charming fellow and a marvelous, marvelous comedic actor and lovely guy. Father of two and very silly. I like him a lot.
He's effortless when you watch him. Even from the first time that I saw him in Bridesmaids, I feel like that was the first time I saw. So is this your first series? So a lot of the things that we had talked about were movies or bigger productions. This is your first series, or have you done that before, like voiceover wise?
Well, no, I've done lots of TV series. This is the first. It's not the first one I've been a recurring character on. I actually had my own series for a while, which I sort of don't discuss very much because you can't find it anywhere. But it was a wonderful show called Impress Me, uh-huh, about impressionists. But it was a story. It was about how people like me lead their lives and the kind of work and the kind of adventures they get into. And it was a very charming series. And it starred also Ross Marquand, who you may know from The Walking Dead. And he's gone on to do many, many great things. And is a wonderful, wonderful impression.
Play on The Walking Dead?
He played a character called Aaron. I got his, I had like a false arm by the end of it. He had a sort of a funny arm that was... I didn't watch the show, to be honest. I like Ross a lot, but it's not enough to watch The Walking Dead. I'm afraid.
I'll have to look him up. So, speaking of the Big Door Prize, it was actually the first time that I heard about the show. Like, I loved finding little gems of shows, and I hadn't heard about this show before. And I just watched a few episodes. It's a great show. I love when they will take an episode and kind of dedicated to a person, and you're kind of seeing it from their point of view and their perspective. I feel like you kind of fall in love with a cast a little bit more when you get to kind of see their point of view. So it's a great show. It's on Apple TV. It said did you just finish your second season or just got approved for a second season?
We finished before the WGA strike, which began a month ago. We finished season two in Atlanta. Yeah. So I don't know when that'll roll out, but right now season one, all 10 episodes are streamable on Apple TV Plus, like you mentioned.
And it's so great. Your character, the scene of you and your wife telling him at dinner what you've decided to do with your marriage is hilarious. And just so charming. And then your scene with Chris after that, taking your shirt off. It just all of it. It's just so lovable. You do such a great job with it. I'm so happy for you to be in this cast and to, it sounds like based on what you've said that the impressions have really helped kind of break you into a couple different things. Would you say that's true?
Yeah, absolutely. Impressions when you're an actor, right, and trying to like I am, I'm not trying to get a room in Vegas where I can do an hour and, twice a day. I'm an actor. I'm like my mom. I like that life. I like dipping into a production and playing a part and creating a character. Mm-hmm. And impressions is just a tool, particularly when you're portraying people that have existed. When I played Phil Donahue, I went online. I looked at him. I tried to figure out what does a guy sound like? You know, what's this attitude he has?
Yeah.
And even playing Senator Gurney, who was a lot less visible than Phil Donahue was. He was a real person that existed. And so an actor can go and study somebody famous or infamous and capture some bit. If they are an impressionist, they can just hone it a little bit closer and make it a little more satisfying for people who care.
Have you met people that you've impersonated and have they given you feedback on on how they thought you did? Has that ever happened?
It doesn't really happen very often, but I mean, obviously, I know Ron Howard from the Happy Days years, and I've been in several Ron Howard films, and he's aware that I do a Ron Howard impression, you know.
Yeah.
Now, at this hour of the morning, it's a little difficult to do, but yeah. So he's aware that I do that, and he's, you know, he's commented on it. He's very gracious about it. So
yeah.
But I try not to do an impression for the person that in case I happen to meet them.
Yeah.
I wouldn't exactly. Hey, Robert De Niro, how are you? Hey, listen, hey, Robert, listen, this is not for nothing. I do this. I do your voice for things like, you know, like you do your voice, but you know, obviously you get paid.
Yeah.
I'm doing it. Where are you going? Where are you going?
And it was funny. I saw your Merv Griffin. And it's so funny because I feel like if you get that hair right, he just had that piece of hair that just kind of...
Phil Donahue.
Phil Donahue, yeah. But with just that hair, the way he would...
Yeah, get it...
That thing.
Fling it out of his face. Yeah, they put a very dense hair piece on me for that thing.
Yeah, his hair was everything, for sure. All right, so what is next for you? Any new projects coming up? Where can we find you? All of the fun things.
Well, you know, we're on strike right now, pretty much. So I'm not actively doing too much, but I'm preparing a one-man show that I've done over the years, and which has always, you know, sort of shuffled the deck for me. And so if any of your viewers are in Los Angeles, probably in August, I'll be launching that. But if you keep in touch with me at Jimpressions on social media, and on YouTube, I have my own YouTube channel where I put stuff up every day.
Awesome.
Then I'll let you guys know when that Jimpressions show is going to launch. And then I don't know. I just had a video game for all your video game players out there. Star Trek Resurgence. I play Captain Solano, who's he looks kind of like me if my nose was longer and I had a nice mustache. And he's a guy who had a starship and didn't do too well. He had exploded, and now he's back on the bridge of another starship. And how's that going to go?
That's awesome. Well, it sounds like you have your hand in so many fun things, and I'm so glad you could join us. Thank you so much. It was such a pleasure meeting you. And
be
sure to follow Jim. You can follow him on Instagram at Jimpressions, on Twitter at Jim Ross Meskimen, and on Facebook at Jim Meskimen. So thank you so much, Jim. It was such a pleasure meeting you. We'll be following you and keeping up to date on everything.
Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, he's so talented. That was amazing. If I was dating somebody that could do impressions, I'd be like, tonight you're Scottish. What? And I am awful at impressions. If you ask me, Dina, do this impression, it's going to sound exactly like whatever the next impression is. I just feel like some people can hear it. And another can hear nothing. Like Dean, from the time that he was younger, actually talking with Jim and listening to him talk about his mom. Like, I wonder, like, what are Dean and Jacqueline and Brooke going to say about, I grew up in this nut job house where my mom, blah, blah, blah. I think it's so nice to hear even the story of him, you know, kind of watching his mom and all of the lovely things that it sounded like were really great experiences for him, and how that kind of inspired him to get into the business. So it sounds what a lovely story. So, and it's so funny to hear him say, I got into this a little late. I was thinking he was going to say 40 or something. I was in my late 20s. I'm like, oh God, I didn't start stand up until I was 30. But yeah, if you're out there and you're thinking of trying something different, trying something new, hopefully meeting lovely people like Jim and some of the other guests we've had who just kind of find their passion and kind of run with it. I think it's so interesting. And thank you to sexy producer Michelle for putting that together for us. She did a great job. I know. I mean, that's just super talent. And I would highly recommend, I keep forgetting the name of the show, the Big Door Prize. I hadn't heard, did you hear anything about it before we were talking to him?
I did.
I didn't. And I love Chris O'Dowd. He is just so, like, lovable. Just in everything he does. If you don't know what I'm talking about, he was the love interest in Bridesmaids. And he was in something else right after that that I saw. And I was like, I just love him. And now he's has this series. And it's kind of an interesting concept and show. I know, never heard of the show. And I just started watching it. It's on Apple TV. So if you have it, maybe check it out. So far, I've really enjoyed it. And it's kind of great, like meeting Jim and then being, he starts on episode two, because we were watching last night. We're like, where is he? And so Sherry was here. She's like, is that him? I was like, no, that's not him. Is that him? I'm like, that's a girl. Is that him? I was like, stop it. So it was very funny. Chris O'Dowd. He's the hot guy from.
He's Irish.
Is he?
Yeah.
And it's funny because Jim Meskimen plays his dad and his accent is just effortless. It's just like, yeah, it's so fun. It's so fun. So I will keep you all updated. I'm surprised that Sherry has not sent me an estimate for the diamond encrusted ring that we found. Or has it placed in a museum by now because it's part of the Queen's booty? I can only guess. Or it's $2. Or it's not $2 and she's going to tell me it is. So stay tuned tomorrow to find out if basically Sherry's getting a new car. So it's very exciting. Maybe we're going to start a... metal detecting club? I don't know. How much weirder could we be as a group? Yeah, she booking her next cruise. That's right. She's like, girl, I'm going. I said, we're going to go. She's like, I'm Cinderella and you're the evil steps. You literally should have seen us on the beach. I was like, let me try the ring on. And I couldn't. Yeah, she's booking her trip to the French Riviera. Exactly. Anyway, hope you had a great morning, everybody. I want to thank everybody for being here. And next week we have another great guest who's going to be live in the kitchen with us, which I'm so excited about. Comedian Michael Palasek, very funny comic. I know him from Instagram. I think he's hilariously funny. He's going to be playing the Punchline in Philadelphia next Wednesday, but he's going to be in studio with us on Wednesday morning. So I'm super excited to be hosting him on the show. So we'll continue finding some great guests. If you're loving the morning show, loving the direction we're going in, if you'd like to become a subscriber and help us keep this ball rolling, we've really enjoyed kind of watching the show evolve. But we are completely self-funded, which means, yeah, who knows how long we do this for. But if you like the show, just like Apple TV, and you'd like to become a subscriber for $4.99 a month, we'd love to have you. So check it out. And on Apple TV is the big... door prize. I keep wanting to say big game show, and I know that's wrong. The big door prize. I know these guests are great. Michelle's doing such a good job of finding just some really funny people. And jimmeskimen.com. You can find all of his connections there. And all of the things. So like Judy from Saskatoon says, do something nice for yourself. I just bought flowers for myself again the other day and it was lovely. But have a great day and a blessed day, everybody. And we will see you all tomorrow morning on the morning show. So thanks again for watching. And let me play our outro video. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
Hey guys, if you enjoyed today's morning show, make sure to follow us for more One Funny Mother content.
Okay, all right. Morse code is tapping.
And check out onefunnymotherstore.com for great, new, inappropriate swag. And for more exclusive content, consider becoming a supporter.
She got a bad leg.
Thanks again, and we'll see you tomorrow on One Funny Morning.
Boop, 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 boop.